Hey friend, welcome home to the Naked in Truth podcast. In a world where it's hard to find the truth, we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable. This is not your average fitness podcast. We're a community of people that choose to do it different. Naked in Truth is designed for you to own your potential, to live your life with intention, to expand your mindset, and find a community that empowers you to become the highest version of yourself. Each week, you're going to unlock a new understanding of how you can make your impact. You're not meant to be average. You're meant to own your potential. Here comes another raw, real, and relatable episode. It's time to grow. Welcome back to the Naked in Truth podcast. It is your host and your coach, Sari D, and I am back with one of your favorite guests. Say hi to everybody, Jess. We have Jess Mokirk back on, and we are here to do part two of our PEDS episode. You guys loved the last episode. Jess, I know that you got some feedback from people as well, that people were really enjoying the episode.
Yes, sharing a lot about the experiences in the fort, saw the things that people were unaware of, that shed some light on some things. So that was a good episode. We did really good on that one. I feel good about it.
Unfortunately, she's not here with me in person, but at least I'm still able to have her here. And I really want to start this episode out by reminding you guys, like, we are not experts when it comes to steroids or PEDs, but we are bodybuilders that have been in the industry for a while, and we have chosen to stay on the natty journey for a reason. And that's the whole purpose of these podcasts, is because of the fact that a lot of today's day and age wants to jump on things quickly without having a lot of knowledge. We are always wowed by what we're seeing on Instagram and thinking that we need to follow the same route as other people, instead of making informed decisions for ourselves of how some of these decisions are going to potentially implicate our life in the years to come. Because it's not just about the right now. And I think that Jess and I both agree on that as a coach. We don't believe that all the decisions that we should be making are just in your now transformation. We have to think of 10, 20, 30 years down the line of what these decisions are going to make as your coach and how they're going to affect you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't get a lot of clients that are intrigued by it. Just, I think anyone who's attracted to working with me knows, like, I've been voicing it for years. However, there's the odd question, and it's in this lifestyle, it's always, for me, I push the lifestyle because nothing should be expedited. In my it is a longevity thing. It is habit stacking, habit building, all that stuff. So without that, there's no magic involved. Mm-hmm. It is all, like, you have to reinvent yourself. You have to shed the old you to bring in the new. And that's not through drugs, mm-hmm, or things that we're putting into our body, you know? So yeah, like, as a coach, it can be tough because I think everybody wants it as fast as they can. Even, mm-hmm, you know, speaking for myself, like, if I could get it as quickly as possible, like, yeah. But when it comes to weighing the, like, do I want it now and then pay for it later?
Yeah.
Or do I want to go slow and keep it for life?
And what's funny about that is that it doesn't sound sexy, right? Saying that it's going to take 10 to 15 to 20 years to be able to get yourself to a point where health is really become second nature, to a point where you've built your muscle density to a place where it's actually benefiting your longevity. Like, these are things where it's not sexy to think about, but it really is the basics. And when Jess is talking about habit stacking, I know that a lot of people probably roll their eyes and they're like, yeah, healthy habit stacking. But what people don't recognize is that a lot of people already habit stack, but in a really unhealthy way. Whether it's that you are, you know, going and not getting your proper sleep because you're staying up all night listening or watching Netflix or whatever it might be, you might potentially be buying majority of your meals out and not getting any real nutrients in what you're eating. And maybe it's the fact that you're binge drinking every single weekend and these unhealthy habits you're stacking on top of each other. So when she's saying that you need to shed the old you and come into the new you, it really comes to just flipping those habits to healthier ones because you're already stacking bullshit, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the hardest thing for people is like, and you know, when you're being harsh, like, do you want it or not? Because I mean, sometimes it comes down to that. And if you do want it, if you do want to change, if you do want to live a healthy lifestyle, be in the physique that you want to be in, you have to look at your life as this isn't working for me. Can I let go of the things that I do regularly? Because they end up being, which is fucked up, but they end up being a comfort zone and a comfort to a place of what you resort to when things don't go right, or you're having a bad day, or you know, if you do something right, they're like, oh, I'm gonna reward myself, but you're rewarding yourself with something that just pulls you backwards, right?
That
So when you
doesn't
have,
actually make you comfortable. Right? Because you're
no,
saying it's this
it's actually
comfort zone where you're
destroying.
actually uncomfortable with those decisions that you're trying to comfort yourself with, right?
Exactly. And that's your brain's way of keeping you safe. So it's a lot of psychological work that people need to realize. And that is what takes the time. It's not necessarily like your body takes a long time to get to a certain place. It's reprogramming your mind to know like what your habits are, to be consciously aware of them, to talk yourself into doing, you know, what your future self would appreciate, or what your future self that you want to be would tell you to do, right? So it's that is what takes the time. And even like we were saying before, even if you are on PEDs, you still have to make those changes because you can't just put something into your body and be like, oh, right? Yes, it does expedite it, but you still have to work really fucking hard,
Hard.
really hard. You know, you have to eat the food, you have to get the sleep, you have to take your recovery, you have to, you know, and a lot of those people, they get more massages, more, you know, clinical work than the average person too, because they are putting in the work. It's just, it's not that it doesn't require work. It's just that it does hormonally help you get there a little bit faster, right? And yeah.
100%. And I really believe too that, when like where I'm saying like 10, 15, 20 years down the road of you actually seeing the benefits and what you're putting in is what Jess is saying here, because a lot of people are looking for that quick transformation, but the faster that you're making that transformation, the less you're probably making those habit changes, those mindset changes, like what she's talking about. So then you watch somebody's journey for a quick weight loss on Instagram, let's just use as an example, and you're jealous and you're like, hey, like I want to be able to lose 50 pounds in a year, right? But you start noticing that you're 5 years, 10 years into your journey, and you still keep circling around the same bullshit. Like maybe you've ended up losing 15, 20 pounds, but you're still not where you want to be, and you're getting frustrated that there's something wrong with you. But the truth is that you're still looking for that quick fix instead of taking that time to fix the root issue, which is your mindset. Like nobody gets to a point where they're obese or unhappy with their body when they're doing good in their mind. It always starts with you being in a bad place in your mind. And when we're talking about like PEDs, for example, one thing that I find really interesting is, I've been doing a ton of research lately, and there's been more studies done, which is great because there's not a lot of studies done that are for bodybuilders specifically, or when you're comparing Gen Pop to the bodybuilding population. The reason why there is such a small amount of bodybuilders in this world when you compare to other things that they could be able to test out there. But with the studies that are being done, like for example, let's just look at testosterone by itself. When we're looking at a clinical dose of testosterone, let's just look at males specifically. They are finding that, even without having a workout regimen in their routine, that they are still able to add more muscle mass to their body than what they would for somebody who is not taking testosterone and working out, but starting to reach that natural potential, right? You're reaching your natty maximum, which is something that I find really interesting. But this is where the truth lies. Where is that person really going to be in the next 5 to 10 years when it comes to their health? Okay. So first of all, like they're doing a study on somebody who's not even working out. Second of all, what is this person eating like? Right? Because even if you're not working out, but you're still taking the drugs, you're still seeing the side effects to them. And this is where, with what Jess mentioned on the first episode, you cannot control what's growing for muscles, right? When we're looking, like, let's just look at human growth, hormone, testosterone, the steroids that are really focused on building muscle mass, right? What's happening is not only are people's clits growing larger, but their hearts are growing larger. And what's happening is that their valves inside of their heart are starting to grow tissue, muscle tissue, to a point where it's not able to regulate the blood that's pumping into it. Now, these are things that scare the living shit out of me. We're already in a society where heart disease is so prevalent that I couldn't imagine getting to a point where you're growing your heart to a point where it's overworking itself. Like, I know that we've all seen these videos of bodybuilders and they're walking up the stairs and they're making jokes that they can hardly get up the stairs or that they can hardly get out of cars. And it's like, what are we actually risking for a physical transformation simply for us to look good? Like, this is like, and in a world where society is so fucking vain, literally so vain, that that's why we're seeing so many more people jump on this. But what is mind-blowing is that people aren't taking the clinical doses of test, right? It is literally like absurd amounts. Like, I can't even tell you the amount times because I'm not great at math, but when I heard the stats, I was like, what? Like, it's an amount where you would think like you should be dead thinking of the like times the amount of clinical dose
Oh, yeah.
versus what bodybuilders are taking, right?
And not only that, over a prolonged period of time. Because once you get a little taste of that, and it's very hard to go off of it. Because if you don't know, especially for men, if you go off, if you've been on a cycle for an extended period of time and you try to cycle off and you don't do it properly, you're going to experience the male version of PMS, and it's not pretty. Like, it's erectile dysfunction, number one. Like, and that gets you down mentally as well. You have no libido. You're very emotional. If you think you had quote unquote road rage while on testosterone or whatever you're on, you're more erratic when you cycle off and your natural testosterone is trying to, okay, catch up with you now. So people don't think, well, even if they do, if they look into that, they're like, oh, I'll fucking handle it when the time comes. And they don't realize like just how difficult that period of time and that transition is. And so they hop back on it. And then because they were on a smaller dose the previous cycle, they're like, oh, let's fucking jack it up a little bit. And then they go higher and higher. Or they get people telling them, take this, 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 and this, when they only need to be taking maybe one or two things, right? And it's so out of hand. And like we were saying previous, people don't self-advocate. They don't do a lot of research. So they're going to listen to this big fucking jack guy who's selling it to them, right? And or the coaches, the people they look up to, whoever it is, right? And they don't ask enough questions. And I think that just goes for everything in life right now too. Why isn't anybody asking the questions that they need to be asking? They're just like, okay, let's do this, and then I'll pay for it later. Where I'm a firm believer that sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, sure, but not when it comes to your health and the longevity of your life.
So,
So.
I think that a big portion of it too is the fact that society is glamorizing these things, okay? Like, the bigger, the better. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have gone and watched like the Arnold documentary and how, like, way back when bodybuilding started, they were all natural. But then the crowd was like, yo, I want to see the freaks. I want to see people do unrealistic things with their body. And this has just progressed more and more and more to a point where now these guys and females are feeling so much pressure to look a certain way that they have now set the standard for themselves where people love them simply for the fact of the way that they look, which is so silly. You know what I mean? But we've had infatuation like this in many different ways, whether it's models, you know, it goes back all the way back to
Oh,
like Marilyn Monroe
yeah.
days, right? People are infatuated with pretty things. People are infatuated with fit-looking humans because for a majority of the population, especially with the fact that we are going through such an obesity crisis, there's not a lot of fit people anymore. Like when you go
They're an
out,
anomaly.
they are. And so to it's if we had more people fit, I don't think that it would be as mind-blowing to a lot of people. But we also need to understand that just because they're looking a certain way does not mean that they're actually healthy deep down inside. Now, I'm not saying that all bodybuilders who are on steroids and peds are unhealthy. I can promise you that there are points where like an enhanced prep is going to be healthier than a natty prep. The reason why is because when you're doing things properly and you can actually start utilizing the insulin, you can actually start utilizing thyroid hormone, you can actually start utilizing some of these things to help minimize the effects of what's happening in depletion and such a large amount of energy output. But as we talked about in the last episode, it does not mean that there's not going to be long-lasting risk factors to implementing these things. But if you look at the window for what it is, let's just say it's a 12-week prep versus a 12-week prep of natty versus enhanced, you will be able to have more control in the enhanced when done right. But the issue is that you have a lot of knuckleheads out there that are prescribing Tom, Dick, and Harry, exactly like what Jess just said prior. And it's a lot of stuff that people don't need or don't need in that time period, right? And these are where a lot of risks are coming through because not enough people are actually educated in what the body needs, nor are they getting the proper blood work done to be able to prescribe what somebody needs. And they're just jumping straight into it, right?
Yeah. Like during a prep, the purpose, you're hormonally supported with a lot of these enhancements that do help for that period of time. But yeah, like we said, with the clit growth and the thing for women especially is unfortunately a lot of those symptoms they can minimize, but that you're never going to really get rid of them fully, right? So it's
Like, what does
yes, the
life
support
look
is
like
there.
outside of that prep, right?
Yes, and I it just blows my mind that people don't read up on that. Like I don't even know what else to compare it to. Like if everybody was like, okay, I'm attached to my hair. Okay. And let's say there's a fad going on and everybody is chopping their hair off and it looks great for the time being. But little do you know that as soon as this fad is over, your hair is going to fall out or your hair is going to, something, some repercussions come of that. I'm going to want to know that beforehand. If I didn't know that and that's what happened to me, lose my shit. Absolutely be like, what the fuck did I do to myself? Now I have no hair. Now, and this is a stupid analogy. I just came it up with it like on the fly. But why aren't people like reading and reading and reading and watching videos and going to forums and listening to podcasts like this before they take anything into their body, And I mean, a lot of people do. I'm not saying that they don't, but there is an alarming amount of people who don't. And especially the hard part for me, like we mentioned before, is the clout. And I was thinking about this the other day, approaching this podcast. I was thinking to myself, what if the internet, or not just the internet, what if Instagram, what if social media didn't exist whatsoever? We remove that from people's forefront of their brain. How would you feel about fitness then? How would you feel about working out then? Would you do it because you want to be healthy? And if you have children, keep up with your children or whatever it is. Or would you do it for vanity reasons? And I think that's an important question to ask. If we completely removed anything, before there was magazines and it was always, there's always something in our face. But if we completely removed it all and we were just our own person, what would you do then?
Totally. And we all have different goals as to why we're setting out for the stage. But a lot of people who haven't competed before think that you're getting so much more than what you are. But what it is you're putting in a shit ton of work for 30 seconds on stage and potentially a plastic trophy. I don't think people recognize that that's what you get out of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you put so much into it, which is where so many people see the post-show blues. And we'll probably touch on that in this episode a little bit too, or potentially even a future episode. But a lot of what we're working towards, we don't even recognize what it is, which is why it's so important to have those personal goals. Like, you know, even one of my athletes that I'm coaching to stage right now, you know, she's a natural bodybuilder, and we just gave her a weekend to go with her family and celebrate some time with her nieces and nephews and all that fun stuff. And she was like, it was so great to take a couple of days and not feel like I was just a bodybuilder, that I was a mom, that I was an aunt, that I was a sister. And the truth is that we end up putting these blinders on, thinking that, especially when we're in prep, because it takes so much of our priority, because there's
Oh,
a
yeah.
thousand tasks that you need to do on top of your regular thousand tasks outside of bodybuilding, that it gets this like tunnel vision where you're like, I am a bodybuilder. That is what my life is. And not being able to decipher that you have so much more purpose than just these 30 seconds on stage. And I'm not trying to undermine it, you know what I mean? Because it's a great opportunity. It's an amazing sport. There's a reason why you and I love to do it. But at the
Yeah.
same time, too, we need to make sure that we're having real goals instead of just, I want to look a certain way and look a certain way for 30 seconds on stage, because then you need to reverse. And that's when things start fucking with you 100%, because you're like, I don't look the same as what I used to look like throughout this prep. And you only held on to it for a certain period of time. And you're seeing so many people stay extremely lean year round, but we know that that's happening because of the additives that they're having into their supplements that's helping them stay that lean. But I'd love to see what the next 10 years looks like. So we might be seeing them stay super lean for 2 to 5 years, but what does the next 10 years look like on top of this, right? What do their health markers really say when they're staying this lean?
I think too, it's all genetics as well. Like there are the people, I mean, not all genetics. Genetics play a big part. And I've said this before, like if you are on a fitness journey, don't take advice from someone who has abs 24/7 and had to gain muscle, but they've always been lean, right? Those people, they'll be shredded forever. Their issue is retaining the muscle mass, right? But there are the people that stay on the stuff and, or in my case, wasn't on anything, but I was so mentally fucked after my shows that I was doing spin every morning, 5:30 in the morning, then training, and then maybe sometimes doing extra cardio. Like I was so fucked in my head to stay that lean, to stay at an image that everyone held me at, that it completely fucked with my system. And I did that for years. Like the last show I did, I think was 2018. And I did not, or I worked the same until COVID hit. And then my body was like, so,
Because you had that
there's so
large
many
factor
different,
of stress, right?
yeah, like, and it's, and well, and I had everything at my fingertips, right? Then spin was gone, you know, and I'm grateful for that time period because it forced me into allowing my body to rest and allowing myself to take that societal pressure off myself. Well, it didn't allow me, it forced me to, right? So, and that's like, and I didn't use enhancements during that time, right? That was just push, 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 push. So, and that, so it has to be said that it's like a mental, fuck, like a fuckery in your head. And if you are using supplement, you are, if I was, I would have 100,000% would have continued to take them because I wanted to uphold that image for
That's the
myself.
thing, right? How do you let that
Yeah.
go after, right? I just want to take a quick break from this episode to remind you that you don't have to feel stuck anymore. In a world where there's an overwhelm of information, it can literally feel impossible to know where to start your health and fitness journey. It's my life's mission to teach others how to own their potential and keep health simple. I don't want you to feel discouraged if you feel like you failed at achieving your health and fitness goals in the past. You're here for a reason, and I want you to see success like hundreds of the clients who have joined Team Authentically Fit and have chosen to do it different. If you're ready to stop gaining all of the weight back that you lose, if you're tired of trying the fad diets that fail, if you're tired of feeling sick and tired, and you're ready to make a long-lasting change that is going to make health simple and allow for you to look so good that you didn't even realize it was possible, I want you to message me the words, "Do it different," right now on my Instagram, @authentically.fit, where I promise to change your life and allow for you to keep these results for good. You do not need to waste your time feeling stuck any longer. Make sure to send me the words, "Do it different," to my Instagram, @authentically.fit, and we will discuss a plan that is made specifically for you and your success. One that's gonna allow for you to truly own your potential. I can't wait to hear from you and start changing your life today. It's time for us to get back to this impactful episode. Let's get raw, real, and relatable. And you know, when it comes to even myself personally, like if you've listened to this podcast, I've talked many, many episodes about the years that I've struggled with my mental health, right? And depression is unfortunately something that I've dealt with from a very young age. And now, you know, getting the diagnosis of PMDD and recognizing that it really came around the time that I started getting my period as a really young female, right? Like I was 10 when I got my period. And it really started as soon as I got that. And so when we look at that, like, you know, being 9 years old, starting to get acne, these things are just unheard of. And we are now going to see more and more of that simply for the fact of the chemicals that we're exposed to at young ages, these kids not getting the right nutrients that they need, and the high volume of stress that a lot of people are experiencing because of the fact that people aren't looking after themselves. And whether you want to believe it or not, your kids can pick up on that stuff and they can become hypersensitive to stress too. So with that being said, though, I luckily had a good coach who wanted to make sure that I understood these repercussions, you know, not only just the fact of everything can grow from your clitoris to your heart, right? But the fact of so many people were not even just dying that he knew, but people were committing suicide. And the reason for that is because of the continuation of the hormonal imbalances, because no matter how good you are at prescribing these peds, prescribing these steroids, there is still always going to be a risk factor that something can go wrong, right? There's also some that affect your mental health and your hormones a little bit more, because a lot of the time, the mental health issues that we are experiencing, one, are ones that we're creating ourselves because of our perception. But a lot of the time, our perception starts to get jumbled, because when our hormones aren't working properly, that starts affecting our mental health. So those are the two reasons as to why you're going to struggle with anxiety, why you're going to struggle with depression. And so I finally got myself to a point where I am balanced. Like, you know, I'm really so grateful that I learned so much about myself, because you start feeling like you're absolutely crazy because you're constantly fighting yourself, right? When your hormones are in balance and you can't figure out why you just can't get your shit together because you don't want to feel the way that you're feeling, right? And so until you start getting the right nutrients in your body, you are going to struggle at the end of the day. You know, some people do end up needing hormone replacement therapy, but a lot of us, we simply need to change our habits and get the right nutrients into our body, because we're deficient in so many different vitamins and minerals. And a lot of the vitamin deficiency is not only just coming from what we're eating, but it's also coming from the fact of if you have been dealing with an imbalance for a long time, it's going to start depleting certain vitamin and mineral levels for you. So you're going to need that much more. So like, let's just say I was already taking vitamin C. Well, little did I know that I actually needed 5 times the amount of a regular dose for an adult in order for me to start seeing a difference on my vitamin C levels, right? Just as an example. Yep. And so I'm so grateful that I had him alongside me for those years, because I started competing when wellness first came to Canada. It was the first year that it was ever in Canada. And it really honestly blew me up a little bit. A lot of people remember me from being the girl on YouTube that prepped herself throughout this prep, started talking about what this wellness division really is. But we need to understand that wellness came from Brazil. Okay. These women, when Jess is talking about genetics, These
Yeah.
are physiques that you cannot compare to unless you have those genetics. Like, I'm really sorry, unless you're planning to jump on peds and steroids to be able to measure up to the Olympia level of what you're seeing of these physiques. And so you really have to ask yourself, like, where do I see my career going in bodybuilding? Like, am I somebody who
Yep.
just wants to compete at like a regional, or maybe I do want to get my pro card, but maybe I'm going to stop at that national level. Maybe I do want to go and make it to the Arnold Amateur, which is what Jess was able to do, which is something that is a huge freaking accomplishment for a natural athlete. But for her to get to a point where, okay, now I'm going to make it to the actual Arnold's, or now I'm going to make it to the Olympia. As a natural athlete, the chances of that are going to be a lot slimmer. Does that mean that this is something that is not achievable? Absolutely not. But we also need to recognize how much the sport has changed in just a couple of years, in my opinion, because of this obsession of vanity. Like, if you look at the wellness competitors on the Olympia stage and where things have progressed from the regional level up to the national level, up to where you're seeing these major pro shows. The differences of what the criteria are telling you for these girls to look like compared to what they're coming on stage like is completely different. They have 10 times more density, 10 times more vascularity. You're seeing the striations that they're saying that they don't want in the lower half. Like, it's everything of what the actual guidelines on the association's website is telling you. So you're getting so confused in your head because you're like, yeah, like maybe I can make it to this point. But then over just a couple of years' time, women turned into monsters, literally. Like, it was absolutely astonishing, especially I just speak to wellness because it's something that, obviously I competed in myself. I'm still continuing to compete in, but it's also something that's very new and prevalent that we really saw where when it first came in, we weren't sure what to make of it, right? And you have the ability to kind of create what you want of it when it's coming from a different country, because we know that there's going to be variances, right? But what ended up happening is just a complete shit show, in my opinion, because now these women have even spoken out, some of these professionals, that it has gotten too drastic of what they're feeling like they can't even keep up with the amount of muscle mass that these ladies are putting on their lower half, how lean they're expected to be, the fact that it, like, what's the actual criteria? Right. And that's where I think that there's a huge confusion going on. And so for me, myself personally, it was a lot of pressure when I first got started because I'm like, okay, I think that I can do this. And then it's like, okay, I really don't think I can do this without getting any additional help. Right. But then my coach was like, yo, like, this is a life-changing decision. This is a decision that you can't go backwards from. This isn't just like we start for a little bit and we stop and everything's normal again. He's like, I have lost so many people in my life to it. It's something that I don't want to risk with you. And I hope that you're willing to see that. And I'm so grateful for that because, I actually got a recommendation from somebody back in the day to go to a specific team. And if I would have gone to that team instead of the team that I chose, I would have 120% have jumped on gear. Not even a question in my mind. So, it's so funny on whose hands you end up getting into and where Jess is saying, like, no matter what, even if your whole team's on gear, and even if bodybuilding is your biggest dream, do the research before you jump on it just because you're seeing everybody else on it, right? So that's kind of my story with it.
And I was very lucky, like my coach as well. I remember sitting down with him because I got to that point of, okay, where are we taking this, Jess? Like your name's out there. Like we, if you want to push it to your pro card, we gotta fucking drive this home. And we sat and we talked for a couple hours. And I said, honestly, what is your opinion? I don't want to take anything. And I said, I feel like I'd need to. I know, every time you're backstage, the mind game of the girls you're up against. Like there are so many shows that I did where I just already came to terms placing last before I even stepped on stage. And I ended up placing in all those shows. So,
Amazing.
but mind fucked before, now even more mind fucked because you're like, okay, I look at myself and I'm like, okay, yeah, muscular symmetry there, whatever, conditioning, not compared to these girls, size and density, not even close. So you're wondering, you're like the ego in you is like, yeah, I don't gotta take anything to compete on. I can do this. But then why are these girls taking it then? But then you go to a different show and those are the women that are placing.
Yeah.
So judging is all over the place.
It is all the
Criteria, like you
time for
mentioned, is all
sure.
over the place. And so when I had this conversation with him, he's like, honestly, Jess, and he's a pro. He's a bodybuilder pro. He said, this sport is for you. Will it escalate your career? Maybe. Maybe. Will you get some sponsorship? Perhaps. Is that going to pay your bills? Absolutely not.
No.
And he said, to go the long game here, this is what you're going to need to do. And this is what you get in return. And I said, okay, no, we're not doing that route then. If I do happen to get my pro card, great. But I knew that wasn't a career that I wanted because not many people know this. Okay, if you're a pro athlete in any sport, you're making bank. Even at the smaller, you're making money, right?
100%, but not in bodybuilding.
Not in bodybuilding, you go fucking broke
Yeah.
is what happens. It
Yeah.
is so expensive and you actually have to pay for your memberships. Like when I went to the Arnold, it was a huge accomplishment, yes, but it was a huge eye opener as to what a money grab it is. Like after your registration and I had to get an NPC passport and they messed up on registration, so I had to pay more money and then you got to get two tans and you got to, it just keeps adding
Adding
up,
up.
right? So to get nothing in return, only it's an ego boost or to, boost your career a little bit to get some recognition and exposure. Yes. But for me, I just weighed the pros and cons of do I want to do this for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Likely not, because it ruins relationships. And again, with finances, like you can't get ahead, and so on and so forth, right? Everybody has their pros and cons list. For me, it was just a matter of knowing what it would take to push my body, because at that point I was like at my threshold, natty.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know how much further I can take this and for how long.
Long.
Because if you don't know, like for me now, I would have to do probably four or five shows in a year for even anyone to have my name in their mouth, right? So that long of a season is already pushing it for a natural athlete. So then what is the purpose? What's the purpose, right? So everyone's got their own reasons. Everyone's got their and I can't think of the word right now, but
Yeah. Everybody's got their own
it is
goal
a
as to what the reason is that they're wanting to do this or take this next step, right?
And that's like where it is now. It's not necessarily even bodybuilding in the sport. It's Instagram and TikTok,
Yeah.
right? It's people have rivals on the social media, and they always are trying to one up each other or whatever it is. And that's a huge problem because these
Yeah.
people are so young and they don't see the big picture.
Yeah.
They see what's happening right now. And yeah, I mean, live in the present. That's not what, to me, that's not really what that means. You have to take in considerations for the consequences of things.
For sure.
So it's scary. Yeah, for sure. And being a coach too, like we were chatting about how we view coaching and what we see out there.
Yeah.
And the like for me, when you see coaches online, you first kind of look at their physique, right? You look to see where they've come from, where they're at, how they maintain. And there's a lot of coaches that don't even have anything to do with fitness. They just have a shit ton of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
But then again, if you are a female who is on or has been on or and is claiming not to be, people will look at you and be like, I want that. That's kind of what I want to look like. So are you lying to people and saying, I got this way without using any drugs? Or are you taking them on and being like, okay, if you want to look like me, you got to take this, isn't it? So you like, what is the vetting process with that? And I think to like, for me, I don't feel comfortable. Like I had an actual competitor lie to me, her coach, that she was taking stuff the whole prep and I had no idea.
Oh my
I actually found
gosh.
out I posted something and be like, Natty athlete, da da da. And then like three people messaged me. They're like, I think you meant to say national athlete, not Natty. And I was like, what?
What?
What? So that alone, like if you don't know, like, oh, and I wouldn't, honestly, I wouldn't even know if she would have told me, I wouldn't even known. I would have to consult and other coaches because I would have had no clue how to run her prep
As an
had I
enhanced
known she'd fit.
athlete, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think people know each other, like me, you, enough to know that like they can ask us, right? But we don't promote ourselves as people who promote enhancements, right? We're going to give you
100%.
the like push your potential, the consequences, make sure you're self-advocating, all that stuff. But it's, yeah, the people online, it's tough because if you're not disclosing that, at least, or it's like, yeah, no, you have to disclose, and people aren't disclosing is what I'm trying to say.
100%.
Which you're running into problems there, right? And yeah, like I said before, it's completely false advertising, which is tough being a natural athlete and trying to promote yourself too, right? Because it's hard for me, like I said before, to each their own. I like to tell people my story, explain what I won't do to my body because that's my personal choice. I'm not shitting on or hating on anyone for making their own choices and doing, you know, whatever, right? That's your choice. And I want to preface that because I'm not here to shit on people
No.
for making that choice or for doing that stuff. This is just a personal choice. Sorry, my dog just scratched on the door and I completely lost my train of thought. And I am
Riot.
itchy.
Little baby.
Done. Yeah.
No,
Oh.
that's okay. Mom brain, I completely understand. And like the biggest thing that I want people to recognize too, like, A, there's no judgment to anybody who is enhanced. Many of my friends are enhanced. I love them
Yeah.
dearly. I care about
Yeah,
them more
same.
than anything. I am rooting on their
Yep.
journey. There's times where I wish that I didn't have the implications and I could just jump on it. Like, seriously, it's not like that temptation isn't there. Like, I see people like Roxy, like the wellness athlete, and I'm like, my physique would look like her physique if I was able to jump on the right things. We have
Right?
the same body
Yes.
shape, and that would be some crazy shit. I like it's not like it isn't something that runs in our head, but we're also the kind of people where we had to make these decisions for what we thought was best for ourselves. And it's not just because we didn't want to look good in the now. We didn't want to look our best self in the now. It was the
Yeah.
fact that we're looking at the next 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 years and what that really is going to implicate for us. And the other part that I just want to say here too is that I think when it comes to bodybuilding in and of itself, you need to make the decision of what's best for you. There's no doubt in my mind. But when it comes down to that decision, please don't just think about what's going on in the now, right? Think about those next future years. If you're wanting to have children, what that looks like. And I'm not saying that you can't have children once you've been enhanced either. That is also something that can definitely still happen, but you might end up having a little bit more risk. You might end up having a little bit more of a challenging time getting pregnant. But at the same point, too, there's a ton of environmental issues and chemicals in today's day and age that are causing, endometriosis and all of these different diseases that we're seeing come through simply for the fact of it's how our body is reacting to substances, chemicals, so on and so forth, right? And so we just want to encourage people to make sure that they're informed when they're making these types of decisions And I really think when it comes down to preps in and of itself, if you are a natural athlete and your coach is trying to take you through a fast prep, that is where you're going to risk the largest dangers. Okay. We can see that's the difference between enhanced and natty as well, is that you can get away with a lot faster of a prep, a lot less prep time in regards to an enhanced compared to where you would naturally, especially if you're wanting to look after your hormones the best way that you can. Will there always be implications and will it still be hard on your body? Heck yeah, you're doing what's not natural for our body. When we think back thousands of years, our body stores fat easily for a reason, because there used to be time periods where there was weeks to months where we weren't eating and we needed to be able to live off of this stored fat on our body, right? Muscle is expensive when it comes to our body. So we need to understand it's harder for us to hold on to muscle than it is to fat, which is why getting down to these leanness levels are so hard on our body. But the faster that you try and get there, the more you're going to end up seeing a rebound, especially if you're not looking after your reverse properly, but also for the fact that it's going to be that much harder on your hormones, also harder on you mentally, because you're going to be seeing these physique changes in a shorter amount of time. And again, like what Jess prefaced on in regards to just the mental fuck that comes along with being that lean and comparing yourself. Like the longer that you can stretch that out, in my opinion, the more sustainable it's going to be long term, the more that you're going to be able to implement refeed meals in there. You're going to be able to go down on calories, bring them back up, and really be in a sexy spot when it comes to show day, instead of feeling like there's people sitting at like 800, 600 calories. Their fats are below 30 grams. Like I, in my opinion, that's a big like, whoa, red flag. Like I don't even know what the fuck people are trying to do to each other, but there's no reason why we need to get a prep done in 12 weeks. Let's extend it. Life always happens. Shit always comes up. Your kid gets sick for a week. You get sick for a week. You know, something comes up at work that's a project that prioritizes your time where you feel like you're losing your shit. You need to be able to make sure that you can, because when people go into a prep, they assume like it's just going to be 12 weeks of easiness. Like I'm just going to be able to focus on this prep entirely, you know what I mean? Put some of my other stuff to the back burner. No, life's always going to come up. And the faster that you go and try to approach that too, the more higher chance your body's going to get run down. You're going to get sick. You're going to risk an injury. You're not going to be able to continue on with the same level of intensity to your prep as what you had been doing prior. So honestly, finding the right coach for these things is so important, right?
And I, yes, like I've been in this long enough to know the names of and teams and all the things. I'm not name dropping because I'm not about slander, but oh my goodness, like a lot of coaches that like, and I mean, it's their business. If they're going to take you on, they are going to do everything in their power to make you win. So again, with the self-advocation, like if you are a noob or someone who's just like, I don't know, not been, I guess you're a noob. You've maybe done a couple shows, but you haven't done well. You want to do good. You're like, fuck this. If I'm doing this, I'm doing it. And those coaches will do anything. Like I know of girls who zero fat, Sarah, zero. An 18-year-old girl I knew. She didn't get her period until back until she was 21 years old.
Yeah, amenorrhea is a real thing.
And for a woman that young, it is horrendous. Like the symptoms that she experienced was heartbreaking. So this it goes further than, of course, PEDs. It is a dangerous sport to be in if you are not under the right care, if you're not with someone who takes the care and attention to listen, to have the knowledge or willing to find out the knowledge specific to you. Yeah, like there's a lot of, we should do a red flag
That's what
podcast
I was
because
going to say.
there's,
There should be a part three in regards to coaching, right? Especially when it comes to bodybuilding coaching, red flags. I'd love to do that with you. And just with what you've mentioned there too, is that, you know, if your coach is not talking about hormones your hormones, if your coach is not talking about you needing to go for blood work and getting checkups done, like these are things that are really important, especially when you've been in the sport for an extended period of time, you've been dieting for an extended period of time. We just want to make sure too that, you recognize that dieting for more than 8 weeks and not taking a break is not going to be great on your health. You can't just keep going down and down and down and down. You need to make sure that you take breaks. So that's why I'm saying that, the longer that you can ride this out, the longer you're going to be able to maintain this physique later on because you're used to a lot of these habits. Your body's used to being lean instead of getting through the show, somebody not looking after your calories properly, or potentially you have a hard time and you start eating, those fat cells are going to multiply to a point where you don't even understand. Your ghrelin, your hunger hormone, is going to go through the
And
freaking roof.
leptin,
Yeah, like it's
like those
just,
two, and
they're not going to talk to
the
each other.
yeah, and not only that, dopamine, serotonin, all of even your insulin, like your body is just basically going to be like, feed me, feed me, feed me,
Feed
feed
me,
me,
yeah, 100%.
and it does not stop. Like I've had so many rebounds throughout my career history in competing that that's why it happened the last time where I think the last show I did was in BC, and I ate some shit, but then as soon as I got home, I was like, nope. And then I went the opposite way, right? And I went right back onto competing mode and didn't nourish my body and then completely fucked myself over. So, I mean, this topic is it's so extensive, and I think more people need to be talking about the cons of it, which yes, there's benefits, but we see a lot of the glam. It's so glamorized and romanticized that the negative portion, which there's so many facets to. There's the, while you're in prep, after prep, mentally for both hormones,
Financially.
financially, yes, like relationships, what's your home life like? There's so many facets to it that not enough people are seeing the negative aspects, so.
Absolutely. Well, and you know what? This is something that I'd love to continue to talk more about with you and to do future podcasts like this because, you're getting two coaches' values, both who have competed numerous times in the bodybuilding industry. Especially the other part too is that we're different divisions, which I think is really cool in and of itself. She has, figure and bikini experience, right?
Let's not count the
She's got that bikini experience. I want you guys to
experience.
remember that first year because it's pivotal, okay? But also,
Really is.
it really is. But still, it's given you a taste of different divisions, right? Me, myself, and wellness. And I just genuinely believe that we're a great force together. So I'm really excited to bring more value to you guys with Jess. And we're going to close this one off here. We've had a wonderful chat. So thank you for joining again, Jess.
Yeah,
I always
of
appreciate
course,
your
my
valued
pleasure.
input. So just if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to Jess or myself. We want to make sure that if there's anything that we brought up here where you're unsure or it's led to another question, that we're able to help you and address this. So feel free to reach out to Jess. Jess, what's your tag on Instagram?
Becoming HAF.
Becoming HAF. I am authentically.fit, or you can always reach out on the podcast page directly at Naked in Truth Podcast. So we look forward to touching base with you guys again soon. And just remember, love always wins. And that's another honest episode drop. Thank you for tuning into Naked in Truth, where we come together each week to own our potential and level up our lives with intention. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram page at Naked in Truth Podcast to stay up to date on future episodes, guest speakers, and more inspiration that will allow for you to continue to make your impact. And reviews are so important for building a community of like-minded people. So if you enjoy this podcast, please take 2 seconds out of your day to leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so more people like you can learn how to own their potential too. If you love this episode, make sure to take a screenshot and tag @NakedInTruthPodcast on Instagram and share it with someone who you know needs it. Thank you so much again for tuning into Naked in Truth. And remember, love always wins.